Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
What up? Welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 102. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
How about those Flyers?
Yeah, working out so great for us.
Ooh.
So close and yet so far.
Dude, ouch, dude. This is not turning out the way I think we had hoped, but are you really that surprised?
No.
The games have been close. Listen, I mean, one goal games decided. But the first one was like 82 to 81, I think.
Something like that.
It was the score at the end of the first period.
Right.
And then -2 to -1.
I believe that's the case.
The Blackhawks won with the -1 score, right, Mr. Math?
I believe that's the higher number, yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
I'll be here all week.
The fine arts guy with math. Well, yeah, I can't be that surprised. It seemed like the Blackhawks won every different kind of game there is to win. They win this shootout, crazy high-scoring game in game one, much more defensive affair in game two. They win both. They're in the driver's seat. You know, I'm not a big Pierre Maguire fan. Let's just get that out of the way.
Big body, tiny head.
Right. But he did say something that I kind of buy into to a certain extent. And he said, you're not out of it until you lose a game at home. And that's the way I feel about the Flyers. They could win games 3 and 4 at home. Could happen. And then we got ourselves a series. Do I think that's going to happen? No.
Dude.
Well,
Flyers are going to win game 3. Flyers win Wednesday night.
They're going to win a game in Philly.
Right.
At least. But I wouldn't bet on it coming back 2-2 in game 5.
What do you think of the Pronger move in terms of throwing away both game pucks?
Brilliant.
What do you think of the Daniel Carcillo insertion last night?
I like Carcillo. I don't know. I'm not quite sure why they took out JVR, James Van Riemsdyk. I guess they just didn't like the way he was playing. I don't think it's that bad of a move, but then I heard he played more time in the first period than Simone Gagné, which I think was a mistake.
Well, they had him out there, I think, on the Richards line.
Yeah.
So he was definitely causing all kinds of havoc. And
mostly
he was
to his own
drawing
players.
Yeah, that was a great collision.
Where he just completely rails Jeff Carter. Jeff Carter just goes down like a sack of potatoes.
That was the biggest hit Jeff Carter's laid out in the whole playoffs.
I think so.
Carcillo jawing with one of the Chicago players before the game even started.
Yeah.
I love that footage on the pregame. And, so
yeah, leaning around the glass, jawing at the other team. Love that stuff.
Going after Kopechki. He's a real tough guy.
Yeah. And Pronger getting in their heads.
Right. We'll see if this carries over and if Philly can somehow win game 3, then I think everything's back on the table. But if they lose game 3, then the Blackhawks could conceivably win 10 in a row on their way to the Stanley Cup.
They're at 7 in a row now, right?
They are at...
I think I checked
started. They're at 8. Oh, wait. No, you're right. It was... they just... Yeah, 7 in a row.
Yeah. 7 in a row and 10 of the last 11. I mean, the Hawks...
bunch of jokers.
As of tomorrow, they've only lost one game in a month.
I hate those guys.
Yeah. It's just, it's really getting annoying. Mm-hmm. But you know what?
I'm not bitter.
After, you know, we talked and after I felt so down in the dumps about the Sharks and how they were going to be, you know, left behind by the Blackhawks for the next few years, looking at these cap situations as we've done since the Shark season has ended, I'm feeling a little bit better because it seems pretty obvious. They're not going to be able to keep all of these secondary and tertiary guys that have been so important. Dave Bolin, Chris Versteeg, Dustin Byfuglien, Kopechki's going to be unrestricted. You know, not all these guys are coming back. And in fact, maybe only half are coming back because we're talking about salary jumps to Kane and Taves from under $1 million to $6 million. And for Duncan Keith, under $1 million to $5 million cap hit. So, you know, that money has to come from somewhere. And they're going to end up having to trade Chris Versteeg or Dave Bolin or something. And then the Blackhawks aren't going to be quite as good, frankly. I mean, this is their year. I mean, they talk about this. Is this the year? This is the year for the Blackhawks. I mean, this is the best team they could conceivably have for quite a while.
And they have to sign Niemi next year, too.
That's right.
So, Yeah, a little bit of a salary cap predicament. We saw the Detroit Red Wings are in a bit of a pickle now that they've re-signed even Lidstrom to a discounted rate of
$6 million.
They still leaves them with just a shade over $6 million to re-sign a ton of players.
Holmstrom. I mean,
they're missing Holmstrom, Bertuzzi, Williams, Miller, Abdelkader. They've got a lot of guys who are either unrestricted or Lebda. A lot of guys are restricted and unrestricted, so they're going to have some creative maneuvering to do too, and it may cost them someone like Dan Cleary. Might have to trade him. They might have to trade Philpula.
Even Yuri Hudler.
I always say his name wrong.
Like Philpula?
How is it?
It's Philpula.
Oh, I did it right.
Yeah, that's right.
No wonder he didn't look at me strangely. Well, I guess we should focus on our Sharks.
We got to focus on the Sharks.
Of course, this is what everybody wants to talk
about. So last week we talked about the main unrestricted free agents, namely Patrick Marleau, Yevgeny Nabokov. There are other unrestricted free agents, which we're going to sort of get to maybe later in the show, future weeks, all that kind of stuff. We got plenty of time. We got, unfortunately, 4 months till hockey starts up again. I'm already counting the days.
But the draft is just around the corner.
That's true. The draft and unrestricted free agency. But this week, we're basically talking about the two main restricted free agents the Sharks have, Joe Pavelski, Devin Setoguchi. So I know not everybody that listens to the podcast is super up on the CBA like I am. And Doug is, because we are crazy, rabid hockey fans and can tell you that we know that once you've drafted a player 2 years later, they can re-enter the draft, as we've been pouring over Sharks news. So let me give the 30-second primer on what a restricted free agent is here, dude, because not everybody is nuts like us.
Dude, I'm ready.
Okay, so a restricted free agent is a player that can actually go and sign a contract with another team. So Joe Pavelski could go sign with the Islanders, but that's called an offer sheet. And when he does that, the Sharks have the ability to just match exactly what that contract is and retain the player. So he signs in for the Islanders for, you know, 4 years, $16 million, and the Sharks can say, okay, we'll match it. And so Joe Pavelski stays with the Sharks. If the Sharks decide not to match it, the Sharks get compensation from the Islanders based on how much money Pavelski signs for. So basically, it's a pretty expensive proposition to sign a restricted free agent, because not only are you going to be paying him money, you're also going to be giving up draft picks. And, you know, depending on how big the contract is, it could be a lot of draft picks, frankly. And the what was the big one? Dustin Penner.
Right, Dustin Penner.
Was the big one in recent memory, signed by the Edmonton Oilers, you know, taking him away from the Anaheim Ducks, and they had to give up, you know, 2 first-round picks and a second-round pick or something like that. A lot of money. So
definitely worth it.
Well, Dustin Penner had a good year last year.
Not 2 first-rounders and a second-round good.
Okay, I'll give you that. But anyway, so the likelihood of Pavs and Seto signing someplace else, I wouldn't say is great, but we still sort of have to pay them something close to market rate, or else they will go out and look. I mean, we can't offer Pavelski, I don't know what he was making last year, but a million something.
Corned beef sandwich and right. $1 million. No, I think he was making 1.6. I think he signed a 2-year deal, dude.
The Sharks are
going for it here.
The Sharks are
right.
Yes, 1.55, dude. Nice.
Nice. Thank you very much.
1.637 is his cap hit. Yeah, so the Sharks do have to offer him 100% of his current salary in order to retain his signing rights, which of course they're going to do for both of these players. And then the question is, where do they sit in the grand continuum of salaries in the NHL? So that's what we're going to be talking about for both Pavelski and Setoguchi. So the question is, you know, Pavelski's a centerman. That's generally a position that teams want more. They say you want to build from the back out and from the middle out. Wingers like Setoguchi aren't worth quite as much as a guy like Pavelski. Pavelski certainly played on the Olympic team, played well, had an awesome playoffs, averaged about a point per game in the playoffs. So Pavelski's going to certainly be getting a hefty pay raise. So what are we talking about in terms of salary range here for Pavelski? Are we talking $5 million, $6 million, which is the upper echelon of NHL salaries? Or is he going to be somewhere in the middle, dude?
I think he's going to be on the lower end of that. Like, when I was trying to find players who are comparable to Pavelski, like, the two guys that jumped out to me were Jordan Staal, the Pittsburgh Penguins, and then Ryan Kessler of the Vancouver Canucks. And Kessler signed a deal in season this year that was at least a 5-year extension, and it the cap hit ended up being about $5 million.
That's right.
So, but Kessler had 75 points this year.
Yes.
And last year he had 59 points, which ties, you know, Pavelski's career high.
Mm-hmm.
So Kessler is a better player now than Pavelski is.
Yes.
Agreed?
I agree that.
So then Jordan Staal is a different kind of player mm-hmm. than Pavelski, but he doesn't have the same offensive output or isn't asked to do that on that team. He's had two straight 49-point seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And Staal is in the middle of a contract that has a $4 million cap hit.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, Pavelski falls somewhere in the middle there. And if I had to guess, you know, I would say $4.5 million if it was on a shorter term deal
mm-hmm.
would be my guess. If it was 3 years, you know, at $4.5 million, or, you know, do you think Pavelski is one of these guys that Doug Wilson might be looking at the 8 to 9 year deal type thing?
That's a tough call. That's a tough call. It seems like only can you think, I mean, Pavelski, I'm going to say that I think Pavelski is probably not going to be a great first-line player in the NHL. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So can we think of a guy who's a second-line player that has signed a big long-term deal like that?
This young?
Well, anybody.
Well, Chris Drury.
Okay.
And, I mean, and even Danny Briere you might kind of put into that category, though he's coming up huge right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But Briere certainly has more offensive upside than Pavelski, but Chris Drury is probably the best example and maybe the best comparison
mm-hmm.
in terms of an older version of Joe Pavelski, although Drury's maybe more defensively polished and Pavelski more offensively polished on the other side. And Drury's deal's like ridiculous.
Yeah, it's like
$7 million.
It's New York Rangers ridiculous. Let's just leave it at that.
Could other teams potentially overvalue Pavelski a little bit? And I just have a hard time believing that someone's going to take that risk and offer him a restricted sheet that's $5 million plus, giving the Sharks a first, second, and a third round pick or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it'll be if they give him $5 million.
If you're Doug Wilson and that happens, do you let him go?
I think you seriously consider it.
Depends on where the draft pick is.
Especially, yeah. If it's a team like Edmonton or somebody that you're going to get a top five draft pick, you say, Vaya con Dios to Joe Pavelski. If you could get a top five draft pick or two top five draft picks from Joe Pavelski, that's
so tough, because then how do you replace him? I mean, then the pressure is like squarely on Logan Couture to take that spot.
Absolutely.
And then you're really locked into keeping Marlowe. Pavelski's so young. I can't see a scenario where Pavelski isn't signed. I think he's going to be signed, and I think it could be for significant term. Potentially.
See, I just don't see the 7, 8, 9 year deal. One, because we've never seen it from Doug Wilson.
Yeah, we've seen a six. I think Mahalik's was the six.
And that didn't work out so hot. And so with Pavelski being a second line player, I just don't see that. I think of all these long contracts, Taves, Kane, Hossa, Keith, Zetterberg, Datsyuk, all these long deals, they're all top line players, top pairing, top line players. Maybe Hossa isn't technically playing on the top line, but he would be a top line player for most of the teams in the NHL.
Right.
I don't think you could say that about Pavelski.
No.
I'm not anticipating a deal over 5 years. I think 5 years is probably going to be, I could see 5 years, $20 million for Joe Pavelski. That's a $4 million cap hit. I did have a conversation with a friend of mine who's a Pens fan. He thinks Jordan Staal is a better player. Of course, he's a Pens fan. But the fact is he is sort of stuck in that third line role. And I think if you put Jordan Staal as the second line center, he might get a lot more points with more scoring talent around him.
True.
So, you know, I see Pavelski and Staal sort of around the same spot. Both great penalty killers, both good face-off guys. You know, you want him in the locker room. According to Mark Purdy, Joe Pavelski may be the next captain of the San Jose Sharks. Could that factor into the length of this deal?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it could. If that's how Doug Wilson feels, especially if he knows that Rob Blake is not coming back
mm-hmm.
and they're going to build this team around Joe Pavelski, then you know, you could certainly see, you know, 5, 6 years not being out of the question. And I would think the lowest it would be 4. Now, for what it's worth, dude, mm-hmm. and the Edmonton Journal all of a sudden has become an expert on the San Jose Sharks. And,
how about that?
And they write about the Sharks every day, that the guy is so bored. And this is what he said. He wrote about 4 things about the Sharks yesterday. Joe Pavelski's play dropped off after the first round series, which means he probably won't hit the home run on a new deal with San Jose, but he's predicting a 4-year, $16 million deal. So that's right in line with your thinking. So we'll see what happens. There's no way Pavelski hits the July 1st restricted date. No chance.
Yeah, that's true.
Doug Wilson's not going to let it happen. He's going to be sewn up, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was... That would be the first thing we're going to hear as far as a major signing.
All right. So I think that makes sense. And I think we both put Pavelski on our sort of list of untouchables last week, which I think some of our readers might have had a couple of quibbles with, which we'll get later on in the show. And that's what this podcast is all about. Questions at Dudes on Hockey is, of course, the email address.
Because we're always right.
Yeah. We were so right about so many things this postseason. Anyway.
Seto.
Yeah, Seto. So let's talk about Seto. So Seto is the wild card, the streaky player. Great season last year, 30 goals. Not quite as great this year.
Half as good.
Is this going to be actually a boon to the Sharks long term because he didn't perform quite as well? If he scored 30 goals again, then we're talking about $4 to $5 million easy for a 30 goal scorer of Seto's age, which is still only 22 or 23 years old. That's really good numbers for a guy that young. Pavel Datsyuk didn't have those numbers when he was that young. So the fact that he, frankly, tailed off a little bit is probably better for the Sharks if they want to re-sign him. How would you rate the Sharks' need and impetus for signing him? You think they really want to sign him, or you think maybe if the right deal comes along, offer sheet, etc., might let him go?
In terms of him being on the team next year, on a scale of 1 to 10, I put it as a 7.
Okay.
But I think in terms of value to the Sharks offseason, he's a 10. Because one of these guys from the top six, I believe, is not going to be here next year because that spot rightfully belongs to Logan Couture.
Mm-hmm.
He should be somewhere in the top six forwards. I think he's proven that he's capable of... I mean, Logan Couture could do 36 points, which is what Setoguchi did. If that's going to be Seto's output... I mean, Couture could do it for a third of the money.
Yeah.
So Seto's value could be in a trade. A guy who has a lot of potential. But in terms of signing him, the two guys I kind of pointed to, one was Christopher Stieg, who we're all familiar with from the Blackhawks series. And the other one is Blake Wheeler, who was the unsigned college free agent who left Phoenix and went to Boston and signed a deal that was $2.8 million cap hit a year. And this year, he had 18 goals. And Seto had 20 goals.
20 and 16 for 36
So points. If that's the going rate for a 18 to 20 goal scorer who's 23 to 24 years old, then I might be interested in giving Seto about $2.5 to $2.8 million. But if we're getting in the $3 million range for him, I'm not sure, dude. I mean, I don't know. Not long term. Are you thinking a long term deal here with Seto, or are you thinking one of these 1 year things like they did with Klo?
Oh man, that's a tough call. See, I don't think you want to sign him to a 1 year deal because he had 31 goals a year ago. If he has another 31 goal season, then all of a sudden you're in a rock and a hard place. You don't want to. If you're going to give him something close to market rate, I think a guy this young, you want to give him the opportunity to improve and then have the Sharks benefit from that improvement by not having to pay him market rate for each of those improving years.
But aren't you kind of maybe putting yourself into a situation that the Sharks have been in before? I mean, haven't they overvalued someone like Mahalik and then signed him to long term? It didn't work out.
Right.
And didn't this just happen with Torrey Mitchell? I mean, Mitchell now $1.1 million. I would say, he falls behind guys like, I'd rather have Scott Nickel than Torrey Mitchell.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it because Mitchell appears to be too small to center in the NHL. He's not getting it done. So this is going to be Doug Wilson's.
And you'd rather have Scott Nickel, who's even smaller.
Well, Scott Nickel at least seems to have a little bit of fight in him.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know. Torrey Mitchell is falling off my feel of love radar quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
And, Versteeg, this year, he only had 44 points. Last year, he had 53. So his deal went down, and he's making $3.1 million.
Right.
So I'm sure Seto's agent's going to look at those two players
there. Right. I think my tipping point is $3 million. If you can get him for under $3 million, you get 2 or 3 years out of Seto and see what you can get. That seems about right to me. 2.8 sounds like a nice deal. 2.75 for 3 years. I'd give him 2.75 for 3 years. Give him a little extra term in case, you know, that might, that sweetens the pot a little bit. Because if he goes down to 15 goals next year, and that's going to be
Chichu territory,
that's going to be trouble, right? But the thing is, 2.75 isn't a cap buster. It's not Brian Campbell 7.4, and frankly, 4.2 for Mahalik is a lot harder to move than under $3 million.
Right.
And even if you have to eat it in the minors, that's not the worst thing ever to happen. And certainly with Seto, you could, if you really hate him, you could do a re-entry deal and someone would pay him 1.4 on the way back up or something like that.
So, I just think he might be their best valuable trade chip here in the offseason.
I see.
If they're looking to make a significant move, you know, you could see a team like Toronto being very interested, and you know, perhaps, you know, that's the kind of player that they're looking for in a Cabrelle deal or something. Just a thought.
Well,
just starting,
I think,
a rumor.
Those are really, I think those are almost the two big questions out of those four guys. So right now, as our current predictions stand, we have the Sharks signing three of those four big question marks. Not Nabokov, but the other three right now.
Right.
Okay, that's interesting.
Seto at, what we're saying, 2.8 to 3?
Yeah, or, yeah, two and three quarters. I'll split the difference and say 2 3/4, between 2.5 and 3.
All right.
Sounds about right. And then Pavs, hopefully we can get him for around 4 or a little bit more than that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be more like 4.5, but we shall see, dude.
We shall see. Well, dude, there was some actual more Sharks news. The Sharks have made some signings and, frankly, some releases here in the last few days. So the Sharks have signed 5 players. Tommy Wingles, a college player, Taylor Doherty, a junior player, Marek Videnski, we've talked about on the podcast before, also in juniors, Harry Sateri is a Finnish goaltender, and Carter Hutton is the weird name, and...
That sounds like a normal name, dude. That's not fair.
Carter Hutton, I've never heard of him, that's all. It's weird because I haven't heard of him.
I know who he is, dude.
You do now.
I do.
You've been spending all day on the internet. But they also let 3 guys go. I guess the draft rule is that you can draft a guy, and if you don't sign him to a contract for 2 years, he can re-enter the draft if he's under 20 years old. If he's over 20 and not a college player, then he just becomes an unrestricted free agent. So the Sharks did that with 3 players. 2 of them you've probably heard before if you listen to the podcast. Samuel Gruhl, we've talked about before. Julian Demers is Jason Demers' brother. And
is that wrong?
That's so wrong. I'm so wrong. Damn it, dude. Do I have to stop the podcast right here and go back?
No. Was that
really? I thought they drafted brothers. They didn't draft brothers. I'm not stopping, dude. You're laughing at me.
I am laughing. I want you. I want you to Google him right now.
All right, now. Dude, you talk about it, because obviously I have no freaking clue what I'm talking about.
All right. Oh, my God.
Really?
You got to love
I thought
a live taped podcast. Dude, no. You're very, very, very wrong here.
All right.
So, Carter Hutton, let's talk about him. Go back. Sorry. Carter Hutton, college player, college free agent. Oh man, this is going to require the listeners
you got to Google these guys. That's all I'm going to say. You just got to Google them, and then
Google Jason Demers, and then Google Julian Demers,
and then
you'll see Mike's critical.
And then write me an essay about how you will no longer listen to this podcast ever again. Oh, man.
Okay. All right, dude, back on track. Okay.
Let's try to get back on it.
Carter Hutton. Yeah. All right. He actually played this year in the AHL. He was a college grad from UMass Lowell. Doug Wilson's obsessed with the UMass teams.
Yeah.
Amherst and Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
Played 4 years there. He had a really good year this year. 2.04 goals allowed, 9.928 save percentage, 4 shutouts. He actually suited up for the Flyers this year.
Really?
He did. He didn't play, but he was a backup in a game.
Huh.
So they purchased his contract from the Philadelphia minor league team. And, you know, there's been some quotes on him as far as sound butterfly style with decent rebound control, athletic and quick, mature, sometimes caught out of position. So in terms of this guy, you know, I don't totally get it, especially with them signing Harry Sateri. And now they've got Tyson Sexsmith. They've got Alex Stalock. You've got those four guys kind of floating around.
Yeah.
I don't know. But and then you've also got Henrik Karlsson, the mystery guy,
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
terms of being around. So they've got five goalies kind of floating around the minors and in the system under contract. Do they have to be here? No. They could play.
Right. So Terry could keep playing in...
He could keep playing in Finland.
And Karlsson could keep playing in Sweden.
Right. Let's talk about Harry Sateri real quick. He's 20. Mm-hmm. He signed a three-year deal. He's ranked 7th hockey future prospect for the Sharks. He played in the World Juniors. He's played in the World Juniors for Finland. He was 0-2 with a 3.54 goals allowed. Not great. He had an okay this year in the Finnish Elite League. And he was their main goalie in the playoffs. So Harry Sateri is still super young, but they seem to be pretty high on him. So certainly got a lot of options.
Right. Sharks draft good goalies, right? So it's a situation where the Sharks draft best available. It's just one of those things.
Let me tell you the guys really quickly that kind of jump out at me as being super interesting. And actually, I think I'm going to end up talking about all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tony Lucia is not interesting to me at all, actually. I'm not sure, you know, he's a depth guy, and I don't think we're going to see much of him really at all. Marek Videnski, we've talked a lot about him.
Yes.
And he's 19. He was he played for the World Juniors for Slovakia for the last 2 years, described as a strong two-way player with skill. Big year for Saskatoon, their MVP mm-hmm. in the playoffs, as I think you've mentioned in the previous podcast. So that's a real interesting guy. 6'4", 185.
Okay.
Ichabod Crane.
Yeah, could add a little weight.
Maybe they'll give him some chowder in Worcester.
Chowder.
Tommy Wingles is a guy that...
Yeah, another college player.
Another college guy. He was captain of the Miami, Ohio team, which made it to the finals in 2009 and got their hearts broken.
Yeah. I remember that.
In that game, we watched it. We were in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up two goals in the last minute.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And then lost in overtime.
Right. And then they made it back to the Frozen Four again this year, the Final Four. So he's the captain of that team. He sounds like a DW guy. Mm-hmm. You can look up. There's an interview with him on Puck Daddy, actually. A really great interview.
Oh, cool.
Puck Daddy interviewed him. Best defensive forward in the CCHA this year. So seems like an interesting guy. You know, two-way player.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Pavelski-type guy.
Right.
James Marcoux.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if that's how you said it right. Seems to be one of the most sought-after college free agents. Sharks landed him. He's only 5'8", but he was 10th in the nation in scoring this year, 51 points. He's led UMass Amherst in scoring all 3 years. He was their all-time leader there in assists.
Mm.
And he even played for Worcester this year. So this is a guy maybe we should keep an eye on. He interviews where he talks about how he models himself after Martin St. Louis. So,
right. I would hope so.
He's produced at every level. He was a member of the under 18 U.S. national team. Seems like a guy who could be, I don't think it's a risk at all. I mean, why not? You know, everybody's kind of given up on this guy.
Maybe he's a Brian Gionta. Who knows?
Right. How about Taylor Doherty?
Yeah, that's the name that on this list that's interesting because to me, well, also his name's similar, but he seems like the Sharks version of Tyler Myers, another huge, huge defenseman, right?
6'7". This guy is 6'7". And we saw him at the rookie camp, and he looked totally overmatched. I mean, he looked like completely lost out there. But he had his best year in juniors this year, and his team actually really struggled. They made it to the playoffs. He didn't play the first two games because he was injured. They lost both games, and he came back, and they made it a 7-game series.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a 100 penalty minute guy. First year, he was a plus, you know, plus player. He's always been a minus player. 44 points. He seems like a really, really intriguing prospect.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see.
Can he take his game to the next level?
Can he take his game to the next level, or is he going to be Alexei Semenov? You know, what's this guy going to be? We're going to find out. You know, I'm excited to see how he plays in camp, dude.
All right, dude. Talk quickly about these guys that we let go. Are you surprised that Julian Demers, who, again, is not Jason Demers' brother. I'm still laughing about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And Samuel Gruhl and Patrick Zacherson. The fact that all three guys were sort of let go. They were just kind of said goodnight, and now they're going to re-enter the draft again. So are you surprised by any of these guys, you know, just hitting the road?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Doug Wilson doesn't have a real track record of players that he drafts not being signed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we found maybe one or two in the last 4 years that haven't actually agreed to a contract. So to have two guys from the same draft year, both playing in juniors, not sign,
mm-hmm.
The fourth and sixth round pick from that year, a little strange. Gruel is 6'4 and weighs about 90 pounds. So that might be why they're not real high on him. And Julian Demers, I am surprised. You know, he had a real good year offensively last year. This year, he seems to be a little bit more responsible based on his numbers. But obviously, they prefer the college players.
Yeah.
And they prefer the college free agents they went with. So they're letting those guys go.
And for those who are thinking about it, yes, the Sharks can redraft them again if they want to.
That would be something. I wonder how many times that's happened.
I don't know. That'd be weird. But there is
with the first pick, Samuel Gruel.
I think the reason they did that, though, is there is a limit to the number of contracts any team can carry. The Sharks just can't go and sign as many players as they want and then sort them out later. They can only hold 50 contracts at once. And if you count the number of contracts the Sharks have right now, and you look at what will probably be their NHL roster or something similar next year, they're going to come real close to that limit. So that's probably one of the reasons why they let these guys go.
Right.
All right, dude, let's go to emails. I got an email here from Tom.
Tom.
Tom says, I would like to know what potential free agents or trade targets you think the Sharks should target in the offseason. With all the crazy rumors I'm expecting to hear about this summer, who would you realistically like to see in Teal next year? My number one target is a guy already playing on the Sharks, and that is Manny Malhotra.
Mm-hmm.
I want Manny Malhotra back in Teal. If it costs us $1.5 million to sign him, I would do it. This guy is an excellent penalty killer, one of the best face-off guys there is, never takes a shift off. This is exactly the kind of player the Sharks need to have on the third line, a guy that unfortunately Torrey Mitchell is not right now. If Torrey Mitchell had stepped up this year, then I might not be so sure. But I want Manny Malhotra, and he's my number one target right now. And as we've talked about plenty of times on this podcast, the Sharks do not go out and target big-time free agents. So those of you wishing the Sharks are going to go get Kovalchuk, well, you know, take a couple aspirin because it ain't happening. They are not going to go and get Kovalchuk.
Right. I like Manny Malhotra a lot, too, and I'm not sure who's out there that maybe is better in that mold. I mean, we've talked about Matt Cook, maybe not the kind of player the Sharks are looking for, but and certainly not if Joe Thornton's on the team, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, the Sharks need a third-line shutdown to center, and they need a Dave Boland. They need a Sammy Paulson. Can Malhotra do that? He didn't or wasn't asked to do that.
Right.
So is he capable of it? I'm not sure. You know, we haven't seen that, but I really think that that's an area that was a glaring need that we didn't have anybody who could shut down Toews and Kane, and that was a problem. Let me throw out some guys who are unrestricted that I think are possible targets for Doug Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
What about a guy like Paul Martin?
Yeah. But he seems to be a little bit too high profile for me. I didn't include him on my list.
He's had some injury problems, though.
That's true. But
some people might be scared off.
He's a guy that would have played on the USA Olympic team if he wasn't hurt. So I'm, you know, that's in a stratosphere that Doug Wilson has not really dipped his toe into too much.
Right. But I think there's going to be guys that are going to be more high priced than him. I think the guy who's going to maybe see, you know, Dan Hamhuis is going to get a ton of cash.
Mm-hmm.
Volchenkov's going to get a lot of money. Zibanejad Mihalik
is
going to cash in.
Yes,
you know,
he
probably
will.
Price himself out of the Phoenix Coyotes, which is good news for us.
Mm-hmm.
So a guy like Paul Martin, he might fall through the cracks a little bit. And maybe fall right into our lap. You know, he made $3.6 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly worth that if he's healthy. Can log a lot of minutes. Mobile. Good power play guy. Doesn't have a lot of size, but might be an improvement over, you know, certainly an improvement over Vallin and Huskins.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a better partner, you know, than Murray for Boyle. How about another name here? We've heard him linked to the Sharks before. Thomas Plekanec.
he really raised his game with Montreal. I didn't have him on my list because he's too high profile of a player, and right. he's going to get a lot of money to stay there, because he has been one of their best offensive players all year. So I don't put Thomas Plekanec in the ballpark for Doug Wilson. How about somebody that we talked about just a few minutes ago? One of the two of Andreas Lilja or Brett Lebda.
That's my next one, dude. I put Brett Lebda as a very real target for the Sharks.
Or even Lilja.
Well, Lilja is... I think the Sharks have to get away from guys like... Like, I think Vallin is definitely not back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't have too many lead-footed guys out there.
Ooh.
Sorry, hamburgers.
Dude.
And Lebda is much more mobile. Mm-hmm. He's a proven playoff performer. And I think that they're going to be looking for guys to combat teams like Chicago, a little bit more mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Lebda might be that guy. So a player like Brett Lebda with ties to Todd McClellan could be a very real target, Tom.
I think so. I have a lot of different names here, but there's other Kubina seems to be a little bit out of the range, but guys that we've talked about earlier in the year, Seidenberg maybe.
Yeah,
we talked about Johnny Boychuk on Boston,
right?
Although Boston's going to want to sign him. So I'm going to move over to the forwards. What about Taylor Pyatt? Do you have a problem with Taylor Pyatt?
No, I don't have a problem with Taylor Pyatt.
Because he is that third line guy
right.
that you were talking about.
Right. He didn't make a lot of money this year. You know, is he an improvement over Jed Ortmeier? Sure.
I think so.
But Taylor Pyatt might have played himself into $1.5 million contract. You know, that's not something I think the Sharks are going to be looking to take on in that third and fourth line role, especially with guys like Ben Ferriero and Fraser McLaren ready to come and step in. So... possible. I mean, a good idea, dude.
Dude, let's go nostalgia. Owen Nolan's an
restricted. Oh, yes. I mean, like, I think if, you know, Doug Wilson's going to go a couple different ways here with some of his forwards. If Klo was a trade bait, maybe, for, you know, if you see like a Klo for Dennis Weidman type deal, you know, although I read another one that made me laugh out loud the other day. Also, I think this was from the Toronto paper. It was Ryan Klo for Carey Price.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, that made me laugh. So if Klo is going to be kind of a salary for salary trade guy, you know, would you do Klo for Dennis Weidman?
Yes, absolutely. I'm a big Dennis Weidman fan.
I am too. And he had a bit of a down year. He got better as the year went on. That's the kind of player, Tom, that I think that, you know, the Sharks, you know, there might be another phone call conversation about Thomas Kaeperle. You know, another guy for the Sharks that might fit into exactly what they're looking to do. So...
you know, I was just saying before we started recording, dude, that frankly, this is going to be a pretty exciting year, UFA season, for me personally. And I think hopefully for Sharks fans, because there's going to be a lot of guys out in the market that are sort of in that realm of gettable by the Sharks. There's not going to be a huge number of major stars out there. I mean, Kovalchuk's a big one. Marlowe, if he gets there. You know, Nabokov, there's several guys that are going to be big name players that are going to go. But as we've said a million times, Sharks aren't going to be playing with the big boys there. But I have a list of all the, you know, Garnet Exelby, Willie Mitchell, Mike Van Rijn, Alex Tanguay, all these guys, second tier players, not top line players. But could they be in the realm for the right price for the Sharks? Any one of those guys.
Sure,
maybe.
But I mean, it's going to depend on what happens early. I mean, how many Jeff Finger type deals are we going to see?
That's the problem.
You know, when somebody signs, you know,
Carlo Kolyakovo
to that 4-year, $20 million deal, and all the other GMs are like, son of a. You know, I mean, oh, boy, what's going to happen here? But that's not going to happen.
Dude, I leave you with one name who is finally unrestricted. The Sharks can go get him again. Mike Rathje.
Nice, dude.
Unrestricted, dude. Finally.
Nice. I think we touched on this really quickly, dude.
Yeah.
Do the Sharks make the phone call and see if Thomas Holmstrom wants to come play in San Jose?
I think they have to. Yeah.
Get your biggest nemesis away from the other team and get him on your team?
Well, I think the only reason the Wings don't sign him again is because they are so strapped for cash. And now that they've signed Lidstrom, I have to think Holmstrom is the next guy on their list to tick off. Okay, he's next, and then we'll go after some of these other guys that we mentioned. But they want to keep Holmstrom, don't you think?
Oh, of course they do.
Yeah,
but
they're not going to let him go.
Well, Eiserman's going to raid the whole team, so...
I hope so. Dude, we've got a long show. It's great how our shows get longer when the season's over.
Yeah, well, we're bored.
Yeah. But we're glad you're still listening. Thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey. We'll be back again next week because I'm sure we'll have another 50, 60, 70 minute show next
week.
That's
cool. Stanley Cup will be done by then, too. Yeah. So.
All that boring Stanley Cup crap. Now we can really talk about interesting things.
We'll be that much closer to the NHL draft
and free agent day, which is going to be good fun. So, anyway, we'll talk to you then. Later, dude.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.